If you can say yes to all of these questions, girl, you are ready. And if you haven't moved forward yet with your loan, your first loan, it's coming. You just keep going. If you've answered no to some of these questions, now is a great time for you to take a beat and do these things for yourself and your business so that you can manage your risk and maximize your growth. Whether you're thinking about adding private money lending to your portfolio or you're on your 10th deal, this podcast is just for you. Grow with Lila is for everyday people who want to grow their passive income, take more control over their investments, and get into real estate without swinging a hammer. Hey, I'm your host, Lila Zayed. I've been standing up new lines of revenue for 20 years. And after doing everything from building sales teams to monetizing solutions to bringing early stage B2B SaaS startups to market, I decided to dive headfirst into the world of private money lending, where even the modest returns are in double digits. As investing goes, private money lending is one of the more risky strategies. And even when your capital is secured by real estate, it can be a big effort to collect on that. So it helps that I'm a fish in water where there are tons of unknowns and hazards abound. I'm walking a few steps ahead, testing the riskiest hypotheses first, and I am sharing all my notes. Everything from big ideas to actionable step-by-step tactics that get results, so you can choose the right path for your own investments on your private money lending journey. Listen in to reveal the key decisions every PML faces before you face them and learn how to manage your risk, all while growing your entrepreneurial skills and mindset. Whether you're PML curious or an accomplished lender, each episode is designed to help you take immediate action on the most important strategies for starting and growing your private money lending business today. There's something about being a woman. Tell me if you can relate to this. You're uncomfortable with other people's discomfort. You wouldn't want to blow up a deal because that wouldn't be playing nice. At least once you've thought, maybe this isn't right for me, but I'm just going to stay the course because I wouldn't want to seem unprofessional or not like a team player. While I'm not a sociologist by trade, I am a woman with a private money lending business who talks to other women PMLs, and I hear these kinds of sentiments often enough. We private money lenders, we play the role of a bank. Nothing more, nothing less. Now take a beat and think about Chase Bank, or even your local community bank or credit union. Do you have it in your mind's eye? The way that you interact with this bank. Imagine the bank president saying, maybe this isn't right for me, but I'm just going to stay the course because I wouldn't want to seem unprofessional or not like a team player. It's wrong. You know it. I know it. And yet it keeps plaguing women in private money lending. Today's episode is so important because it's about protecting you, dear one. I'm going to share the mindset as well as the systems you need to stop thinking private money lending is personal and start appreciating your private money lending as the serious business that it is. And girl, you are selling the easiest, most universally valuable thing out there, money. So let's dig in. I'll tell you everything I know so far. While there are a multitude of types of loans, what I really want to share with you today is the difference between private money lending and personal favors. When a loved one comes to us and says, I really need a hunk of cash for this reason, and would you lend it to me? There's no right or wrong way to approach this, but the reason that I am going to give this consideration is because I have this relationship with this loved one. I care about them. I love them. If someone asks me for $10,000, that is a big deal. And I am going to consider that request because I love this person. If someone walked up to me in the grocery store who I didn't have a relationship with and said, "Lady, I'd really like it if you gave me $10,000 because I need to spend it on this thing," I would probably smile and nod and get myself out of there because it's not conventional for a stranger to ask me for that, all right? When a loved one needs help, I want to consider that. Whether or not I would move forward with that exchange of money really depends on my relationship with that loved one, how much I have in liquid, what the request is about, and what the need is for. But I'll tell you, if I lend to a loved one, I am going to let that money go the moment I deploy it. It would be so nice if they would pay me back, but I am really just going to let go of that. I'm not going to secure that loan by putting a lien against their house. I'm not going to, you know, involve my legal team in that exchange. We might write something down just for the sake of going through the exercise for clarity and so that everybody's on the same page. But in my heart of hearts, listener, I'm going to let my money go as soon as I hand it over, because the reason I gave that money over to my loved one is just that, because I love them. A private money loan, on the other hand, is a loan that is secured by an asset. I am going to involve my legal team, and if that loan defaults, I am going to use that security to collect my money. And we all agree to this before I ever hand over money. We have conversations about it. We each employ lawyers to review our documents and help us get these agreements crystal clear. Private money means that it's coming out of my own coffers, but I'm operating under an LLC. I have separate bank accounts for my private money lending business. I don't have a whole business structure around these activities. I use a CRM, customer relationship management software platform. I have a business accounting firm. I am using repeatable and scalable systems so that I can lend more and more, and that's what I'm doing. The purpose of my private money lending is to aggressively grow my capital, my investable capital. So I turn right around and invest it again. Private money and personal loans are really quite different. And yet, sometimes when we're in the trenches with our private money lending, we can receive the message that this is personal. I'll give you an example. Recently, one of my deals went into default. The borrowers didn't pay it back on the timeline that we agreed to. And when I reached out to the person who brought me this loan opportunity and said, "Gosh, I don't love that this loan is in default, and I hear that the borrower wants to hammer out an extension, which I'm open to, but the days are ticking by." And you know what this person said? He said that they were good borrowers and that I shouldn't rock the boat. I was pretty surprised by that reaction because it's not what I expected. What is a good borrower in your mind, listener? In my mind, it's someone who isn't in default of their loan. Have you ever been in default of your mortgage or a personal loan you took out, maybe to buy a car? If you started getting those notices from the bank about what the next steps would be, they would be to seize the property that secured the loan. Did you think at that time that you were a good borrower? I think that perhaps that sentiment was shared really to get me to play nice. And I think that that kind of messes with my mind a little bit. because what we've agreed to is not being honored. And furthermore, if I move forward with what we did agree to, which is that I would go claim my security now, if the borrower is in default, if I move forward with what we did agree to, then I'm not a good lender, I think is the implication. So it's not just in your head, listener, these thoughts, these feelings, these attitudes, the world around you is reinforcing them. But they're just not helpful and they're not right. They're not accurate. All right. So here's another difference. The legal and tax side of private lending is, of course, different than, say, a personal favor. If I have a loved one who needs some extra cash and they ask me for that and I agree to give them that loan, well, you'll remember in my heart of hearts, I am not counting on getting that money back. And I am certainly not counting on making money off of this exchange. In private money lending, the only reason that I'm engaging in private money lending is for profit, a strategic profit, really. But the important thing here is that I am generating revenue, and those profits are taxed and expenses have to be reported. That's one of the reasons that having a thoughtful entity structure is critical to protecting your assets. This is really good news because every single expense that I have that helps me to grow my private money lending business is a write-off. And in many cases, before I formed my private money lending business, I was experiencing expenses that were in support of it. But before I went ahead and ripped my LLC and got myself set up properly, I wasn't really in a position to account for that, for those business expenses properly. And something that's interesting and wonderful about private money lending is the way that it aligns with personal finance. So at the level that I'm lending now, which is not very high, not compared to some private money lenders that I know, I think very much about the relationship between my private money lending and my personal finance. I'll tell you what I mean. The reason that I private money lend, I mentioned earlier in this episode, is to accelerate the growth of my investable capital. For me, this is about achieving a certain number, a certain amount of investable capital to the end that I generate enough passive income to support my household forevermore. The perpetual passive income machine. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you've heard of this. So in any event, that is my personal finance, and that is what motivates my private money lending. Now, I'm also involved in other kinds of real estate investing, and so private money lending is very complementary. So that is one benefit. Another benefit is that as I grow my private money lending business and am more and more connected to other PMLs, I am learning from them, not just about how to manage my risk, but about how to grow and leverage more lending power. And I've talked about that a little bit in previous episodes, but I'll tell you what it's done for me. It's made me more sophisticated in my approach to my personal finance. I'm not just digging for coins between the couch cushions, dear listener, so that I can lend them. I am more tightly and more intentionally managing our personal finances. And that is a beautiful thing. I can tell you just how close we are to our FU number, which is that total investable capital number. And if you haven't yet, you can find your own, you can calculate your own total investable capital number that you need to generate the amount of passive income you will need, dear one, in order to step away from active income strategies. You can find that in episode number 6. You can find that at growwithlila.com/6, the number 6. Another big difference between private money lending and personal favors are systems. the role of repeatable systems in managing risk as well as maximizing revenue is, I mean, it's really mission critical. Whether we are managing our contacts, our network with a CRM, or we are organizing and managing documents around not just securing loans, but also considering loans. How are you managing your flow, your deal flow? Where are your deals coming from? How do you look at them? How do you compare this deal to that deal? I'm not doing it by looking at this one-page PDF that many borrowers will send to me. It doesn't even include the address of the property in most cases. I have a spreadsheet that lists every single thing that I need to know about a loan before I can even really just have a peek at it and do a napkin underwrite and say, oh, I'm interested, I'm not interested. That takes me 5 minutes or less, but I need these data points in order to make that happen for myself. But then, of course, if I do that napkin underwriting and I say, oh yeah, I am really interested in this, it's in alignment with my lend box, meaning the high level criteria by which I lend, then I need to dig down deeper. I'm going to take it a step further. And I'm going to need a whole lot more information in order to do a deeper dive on underwriting, but also on my diligence of the borrower, as well as any lenders if I'm doing team lending. I can't do that without systems. If I don't have systems in place, if I'm not learning from every deal I do, writing down those lessons, incorporating them into my process, then I just don't know how I'm going to do this. I would be along for the ride. I would miss so much more. And let me tell you, dear listener, I may be learning a lot and I may have a growing process and I might be doing an okay job at managing my risk. And I learn a lesson in every deal, maybe more than one. And the way that those lessons help me is by reinforcing or fortifying my process for the next loan. Systems are total non-negotiable. I use them to vet borrowers, to track payments, and to enforce contracts. I treat my private money lending business like a small business. That's what really helps me maximize my success. I have a work week. I wake up each day ready to do that. On certain days, I do certain activities. On other days, I do others. I have my systems in place. I take holidays off, and I have a small but mighty team. If I were thinking of these loans as a personal favor, I would just be opening my pocketbook for that loved one, having a conversation about it, but then letting it go. In the case of a loan, again, think about a bank. How many files, how many documents, how many processes do they use in order to manage their risk? Now, I'm not saying we all need to become really big banks. In fact, that we're not is why we're private money lending. That said, those processes are universal, and my private money lending business, rather than being a very large institutional bank, is a small family business, and I treat it as such, and I really hope you do too. Another reason I want you to consider entity formation and really a thoughtful entity structure for your private money lending business is to protect your personal assets. Real estate is one of these areas in which legal action is more common than other industries. In the beginning of this episode, I described to you the foreclosure process. I described to you the very thing that secures your loan. In order to collect on that, in many cases, you'll need to kick off a foreclosure process. This is just one example. And for this reason, when we operate in real estate, it's important that we're not simply lending out of our personal finances in order to protect our personal assets, the houses that our families live in, the cars we drive, etc. question I want you to ask yourself is, are you ready to stand up your small business for your private money lending activities? Do you have a small business mindset? Do you consider what you're doing a business? Do you have systems in place at least to collect and assess your deals and your deal flow? Do you have a process for legal review? Do you have a real estate attorney who is licensed in the state or states you are lending in? Have you checked your mindset about personal favors versus private money loans? If you can say yes to all of these questions, girl, you are ready. And if you haven't moved forward yet with your loan, your first loan, it's coming. You just keep going. If you've answered no to some of these questions, now is a great time for you to take a beat and do these things for yourself and your business so that you can manage your risk and maximize your growth. All right, my friend, we have made it to the end of this episode about really seeing your private money lending as a business, setting up your entity and systems to your greatest advantage, and how to know if you're ready. This is one of the biggest mistakes that I see in private money lending. And if you are zooming right past this mistake by taking these actions, you are doing great. We talked about the mindset you need to really own your private money lending business, as well as the three basic areas of your business that need to be set up before you make your first loan: your entity, your accounting and tax prep, and your repeatable systems and processes. As a last note, if you've not set up a business entity before or have yet to score a business accountant, I want to be the one who tells you that this is so doable. Not only are there resources out there aplenty, but you can 100% DM me on social and I will share what I've learned so far. And if you're looking to begin your private money lending journey, as I have, I've got a resource for you. It's a cheat sheet. It's a roadmap I wish I had had. It's a treasure map that reveals plain as day the obstacles faced by every PML and the 10 most common and most costly mistakes made by women who are new to private money lending. And best yet, how to avoid them. Whether you've not yet done your first deal or you've been skating by on sheer dumb luck, this freebie could save you tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of wasted dollars and so much time. Other women have shared these hard lessons learned so you don't have to fall flat on your face and instead can better manage your risk and maximize your wins. Download your I Want to Make Money, Not Lose It cheat sheet today at growwithlila.com/mistakes. That's growwithlila.com/mistakes. That's it for today's episode. I'm your host, Lila Zayed. If you have a pal who could use this episode or more like it, please, please share the link. And if you haven't yet, hit subscribe and follow this podcast so you never miss a thing. I can't wait to connect again next week at the same time, same place. In the meantime, here's to your health, your wealth, your freedom, and your joy.